Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today. We began yesterday looking at what you might call the God-given restrainers that holds back the evil of the human heart, the corruption of the human heart. I'm looking at these restrainers and talking about this topic because of the question we're trying to raise is, what's going on around us? Why is there so much cultural collapse, cultural upheaval? Why are we facing what we're facing, what we're seeing? And so much is breaking down. Everybody feels it. Everybody sees it. Some people are pushing it. Others are shocked that it's actually happening. It's troubling. And the Lord is allowing the nations to be shaken. We're actually experiencing, in my view, the judgment of God, the discipline of the Lord, the redemptive discipline of God on his people, first of all. Hebrews chapter 12 says, you know, God disciplines those whom he loves. It's a sign of his fidelity as a father. And his discipline, the passage says, is sometimes when it happens, it's painful for a period of time. But it's meant to lead to the peaceful fruit of righteousness, of being rightly ordered to God, yielding to God, of walking in his commandments, in his peace. And so I began yesterday talking about two of four restrainers that God gives us. And the first is conscience. Really, this gift from God, the voice of God in us, in human beings, that basically helps us understand the difference between good and evil. It's the voice of God saying, do good and avoid evil. And everybody has it. Nobody can say that they don't have it, and which is why St. Paul will say in Romans chapter 1 that anyone who suppresses the truth about God, the reality of God, and the reality of the law, the natural law that's in us, is without excuse, Paul said, because everybody knows it. Let me just read the passage here, Romans 1, 18 and following. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. Very important phrase there, to suppress the truth. And what Paul's explaining is there's a temptation in the fallen human heart, as I quoted yesterday from Jeremiah. He says so clearly that the human heart is deceitful. It's wicked. It's corrupted. Who can understand it, he says. And then, of course, echoing Jesus in Mark's gospel, said yesterday that, you know, Jesus himself said that the corruption that comes from the heart, the corruption that man deals with, that man brings into the world, doesn't come from outside of, but it comes from within. And it's very dramatic what Jesus said. He said, if you look at the human heart, what's there? Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, bitterness, hatred, lust. So Jesus describes in great detail what Jeremiah is talking about. And God knows that, and God has established restrainers in our personal lives, our family life, in government, and in the church to help really put the right kind of restraint on the constant temptation of the human heart to just have its own way and to go its own way. And it brings the wisdom of God and the authority of God. It brings kind of respect for the natural law that's there. So what Paul is telling us is that there's the constant temptation in the human heart to suppress this truth, these realities. First, fundamentally, God, but that of God's plan, and refusing to acknowledge what is good, what is evil, and ultimately refusing to serve God and to acknowledge God. He said, ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. Clearly perceived. So Paul is making clear that right from the beginning of time, in creation itself, the way man is created, God has made us in such a way that we can perceive the reality of God. And that means we can perceive a certain responsibility before God. And the Catechism describes conscience this way. I read it yesterday, but I'll just repeat it because it's such a key thing. Deep within his conscience, man discovers a law which he's not laid upon himself, but which he must obey. Its voice, ever calling him to love and to do what is good and to avoid evil, sounds in his heart at the right moment. For man has in his heart a law inscribed by God. His conscience is man's most secret core and his sanctuary. There he is alone with God, whose voice echoes in his depths. So this is what you might call a personal restraint. Conscience helps govern the human heart, to keep us on track, to live according to God's plan and purpose, to do good and to avoid evil. And Paul said that because this is in us, human beings who violate it are without excuse. People can't say they don't know. We can't say we didn't know that killing of the innocent is always wrong. We can't say we don't know that God has a plan and that through nature we can come to understand what human sexuality is all about at some level, that we can understand its goal and its purpose. You know, that you can go through the whole listing of kind of the natural, what was called the natural law, and understand that God has revealed it to us. And therefore, Paul says, we're responsible for it. And so when conscience is violated, we violate conscience enough by ignoring it, it weakens conscience. Failing to inform conscience through teaching of Scripture, to respect God and the things of God, conscience can be weakened. And when a whole society has embraced a whole, is rejecting God and calls good evil in many ways, that also begins to chip away at conscience and it weakens it. And then that has the effect of less proper personal restraint, people having virtue and acting out of virtue. And the second one we said yesterday was family. That's a relational restraint, you might say. And so the weapon for personal restraint is conscience that God gives, a kind of spiritual weapon, you might say. And the weapon of the family, this relational restraint, the Scripture calls the rod. That is just the authority of parents as they train their children and raise them up in the discipline of the Lord and bring them up in the wisdom and life of God and have boundaries for them and consequences for crossing those boundaries. Whatever means we do that, we help them understand that there's consequences to their actions and help order them toward the good and toward what's true and toward what's beautiful. Now, the undermining of family, the deconstruction of family, weakens all of that. So, you know, we've talked many times on the program, clearly the family is, you know, the battleground, kind of ground zero of the great spiritual battle we're facing in our time. Well, the third restrainer is the government, governmental authority. And Scripture says what government's been given is the sword. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Or 1 Peter 2, 13 through 14, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor or as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. So good government defends the social order, the rule of law, the golden rule. It protects God-given rights and it maintains peace and social order and civil order. And if it needs to do it, it exercises force, right? The use of force through police or whatever. And so here we are watching social chaos happen across our country, and I think it's going to intensify. There's real forces at work. I think they have a spiritual root ultimately, but also sources of revolution. People who want to see the whole system changed are trying to bring about kind of a political revolution, a chaos of different kinds in the cities. And the some people even want to defund the police, which is really crazy. And so this restrainer, I mean, we're not supposed to sit and watch and celebrate our cities burning and the destruction of them. There's nothing good about that. It's an expression of social order, it's chaos, it's rebellion, and what needs to happen is good government restrains that. Why? Because people's rights are being violated, property rights, you know, their livelihoods are being destroyed, things like that. And so government is meant to be a restraint. And so restraint on what? On the anger and the rage that's in the hearts of some people, or their plans for bringing about chaos, disorder, revolution, whatever that might be. And so you can see even that restrainer, that is the sword, the government unwilling for political reasons or cowardice or buying into ideology, whatever it is, it fails to do its job. And as a result, people suffer. And the fourth restraint. So the fourth restraint is the spiritual restraint, and that's the church and the mission of the church. The church is meant to be salt and light. The gospel that this spiritual restraint has is the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God itself. The gospel has power, and so the gospel has light, and so the church, when the church is healthy, she's living from the word of God, she knows the word of God, and that knowledge of the Word of God is deep knowledge of Christ and the power of the Spirit of God within us. And then the church models. It's meant to model. It's meant to be, as we said, that's what it means to be salt. We're living out the teaching of Jesus in society. We're living a countercultural life. We hopefully are healthy enough that we model for a fallen world what virtue looks like, what love looks like. We're living out the first and second commandment. We're trying to walk out the Beatitudes. But when the church is not healthy, when the church has been corrupted by compromise and sin and indifference and spiritual sloth and the rest of it, that restrainer, the spiritual restrainer of the gospel, is weakened. And so I think all four of these things, all four of these restrainers are being weakened and corrupted in our time. That's why it's not easy for us to get on top of and get out in front of the social chaos that's present and the deconstruction of our own society, our culture, and our way of life. What we need to do to get that back, first of all, the church. The church needs to be the church. Like Al Cresta often says, his tagline, you know, build the church and bless the nation. One of the reasons the nation is corrupting and falling apart in many ways is because the church is weakened and corrupted. So what needs to happen is the church needs to repent. That means real change. That means turning our hearts to God. There's a passage in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You've probably heard it over the last few months more than once. But it's an important passage, I think, that the church needs to radically take to heart. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Friends, there are tens of millions of people in the country who call themselves Christian, right, who are baptized. There's all kinds of politicians in Washington that are Catholic and Christian, positions of very significant influence. But they're not exercising the kind of influence that brings about social order. There's deep division there. There's some who are, and there's some who are trying, but there's some who call themselves Catholics or Christian who are radically moving in the wrong direction, or they're being silent, or they're being cowardly, and they refuse to stand up and to fight in the right kind of way. Now, for the church to humble itself is to recognize that we need deep purification. We need to be strengthened spiritually. We need God's help. We need God's help in such a way that we once again lay hold of the clarity of the gospel, that we have the courage to face the challenges right now that we're facing instead of acquiescing to them. Instead of being silent or accommodating the message or trying to figure out ways to go along with the culture that are really many times inconsistent with the teaching of Jesus. It's a time for great courage. It's a time for great humility, but that's going to flow from a people whose hearts are turned to God in deep and profound repentance, calling on God to bring purification to us, so that we can be a light and can be faithful to God at this difficult time in our history. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.